I also want to make mention today really quickly that this last Sunday, as we mentioned, was Pastor Appreciation Day. Week before was 8 years. It was 5 years ago today that Brother Brandon was baptized. I don't know if you all remember that. And then right back there in the sound booth, there's a lady that's the first one that I baptized here at this church. It's good to see you back there, sister. Leilani, we can still take care of yours anytime you want. Oh, and Mom. Love you all. But all these memories, you know, seeing Brother Catalin today and his wife Paula when we pulled up at the hotel to pick him up just brought back a lot of memories also. In the ministry, you make memories. Amen? In the ministry, you meet people, you have experiences, and the Lord joins you, and good things happen. Brothers and sisters, so much about what we do, we're making memories for ourselves and for others. And our brother Catalin is here, and I'm sure he might share some, well, I'm assuming he's going to share some of his own, but he's also going to talk to us about what the Lord's doing in Romania. Brother Catalin, it's good to have you with us.
Very much. Good morning, everyone. It's so good, I'm great, and we are thrilled to be here this morning with you. Thank you, Pastor Bob and Julie, for inviting us here and bringing us safely here. And thank you for coming out today to the Lord's house, to the fellowship of the church. And we are here basically this morning in order to share a little bit about what the Lord is doing through us, and through yourself even, in the land of Romania, and then to share a few thoughts from the Word of God. I would like to thank Gary for his help with the presentation, and he's still working on it here, and I'm going to use his phone to go through a few pictures that I would like to share with you. So I'm sure Pastor Bob has already told you a lot about Romania. Just a few pictures to remind you what we do and who we are over there. This is our country. This is where we live up there in the north. And the place we live in is called Suceava. Our names are Paula and Catalin Croitor. And we are first and foremost called to serve in Bethlehem Baptist Church. Lovely little church that gathers just like yourself every Sunday morning and Sunday evening and during the week. We have different conferences, events for young people, for people who are interested in the faith. And we have been blessed to see people coming to know the Lord as their Savior. A number of baptisms have taken place in our church over the couple of years, and it's so encouraging to see how the Lord is saving sinners even today. We have a lot of orphans and poor in our country, and as a church, we feel it is our duty and call to minister to these dear souls. They are so happy to be given a gift. They're so thankful to receive a Christmas shoebox, and it is a blessing to see them smile and to see them minister to widows. Again, it is a duty that the Lord called us to do. Ladies who are elderly, lonely, sick, and struggling. Paula and other ladies in our churches are ministering to these dear ladies physically, spiritually, and financially. And they are so thankful and grateful for what they receive. As Pastor Bob has already mentioned, I lead the Suceava Baptist Association, a number of 60 churches and 50 pastors. And it has been a joy to see over the last couple of years pastors being ordained, elders and deacons. But what the Lord said is still true, namely that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are so many, right? So few. So although we ordain pastors, we still have a lot of needs in our pulpits. And these are some pictures of our program of equipping and training pastors, which hopefully at the end of this program will be able to occupy our empty pulpits in our association. So we praise God for these men who are answering God's call to the ministry. Unfortunately, the war in Ukraine is still going on. We live only 30 miles from the Ukrainian border, and when the war started, we were overwhelmed by thousands, tens of thousands of Ukrainian refugees. All we were able to do was to welcome them in our homes, in our churches, in our basements, in our bedrooms, and we fed them, we took good care of them, we encouraged them, and we ministered to them. Soon we realized that the most needy Ukrainians were left in Ukraine, and that's when we decided to travel ourselves into Ukraine. We organized humanitarian trips, preaching trips, and Pastor Bob and the team from GCA were there with us, and we witnessed again the destruction, the loss of homes, of houses, and of even lives. So Ukrainians people are so happy and thankful to receive a little something, a food parcel, the hospitals to receive equipment, the soldiers themselves to be encouraged in what they do. And these are just a few pictures to remind you that the war is still going on, and we pray that the Lord will bring an end to this war. Generators for their very severe winters, we were able to take over, feed them in an open air. When they don't meet in the building, they meet outside, even if it's very cold, freezing cold. But to get a slice of hot pizza, it was so refreshing and so encouraging for them, as you can see from these pictures, which are very many, and I'm trying to go through all of them in a very short time. Wood for their stoves. We played a little part in this project, and they were so, so thankful for what they received. And then we discovered that we brought them wood, but they didn't have stoves, so we were able to provide some stoves for them. And just like this gentleman, he was carrying his stove on the bicycle at home, and this lady was so thankful and touched by our generosity and our effort. But you know, the Lord tells us that the man will not live by bread alone. So Ukrainians cannot live by bread alone, but with every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. So that's why in all our efforts, in all we do, both in Romania and in Ukraine, we try to bring the word of God, bring the gospel, bring the scripture into them. We help them answer their questions. We did Bible study with them. We prayed for them. We counseled them. And they were so eager and so interested, like this lady who gave her life to the Lord as a result of our ministry to them. So the word of God is the only answer. Christ is the only answer, even for the problems that there are in Ukraine right now. And that's what we have tried to do with our pastors' teams. We, as I said, do preaching teams, preaching trips into Ukraine. We go around churches. We encourage. We lift them up. We invite them to look to Jesus. They are encouraged by that. Just a quick story. The Russian army was in this village, and they left behind some bullet boxes. The believers are now using these bullet boxes as their pews. Isn't that great, how the Lord works and turns around what was meant for evil for good? This lady was coming home from a church service in the evening. She was carrying her Bible against her heart, and all of a sudden a bomb exploded next to her. A shrapnel hit her Bible, and that saved her life. And she was able to testify that the Word of God, the Bible, saved her life twice. First, when she read it and changed her life and saved her from condemnation. And secondly, it saved her physical life, that she was protected from that shrapnel. Pastor Bob may have already shared that with you, a church that we help that is doing bulletproof vests. They are trying to save the soldiers' lives on the battlefield. But within these bullet vests, they introduce a New Testament and a prayer booklet. And this booklet contains prayers for the soldiers to read out and pray when they are discouraged, when they are injured, and when they are even dying. So we pray that many soldiers, many Ukrainians will be saved, protected physically, but more so they will be saved for eternal life. So thank you for what you have been doing for Romania and for Ukraine. May the Lord richly bless you here and continue to pray for Ukraine. And why not send Pastor Bob again with his wife Julie to us, and why not all of you come together and meet all these people that I've shared and minister to them. You'll be a blessing for them, and you'll be blessed as well. Thanks very much. I would like now to take the remaining minutes that we have left to share a few thoughts from the Word of God, which are found in the Epistle to the Colossians. And I'm going to read only two verses, and then I'll close with a few thoughts. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And Paul says here, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Set your minds on the things above. Our final destination, dear brothers and sisters, is eternity, is heaven for all those who believe in Christ. And even while we are still here on earth, we are encouraged and exhorted to focus on our destination, to meditate on our heavenly place. And I would like to share with you only four benefits of focusing on heaven. And the first benefit is that when we focus on heaven, when we set our minds on the things above, we are reminded, first of all, of the brevity of our life. You know how long eternity is. It doesn't have an end, but it doesn't have a beginning either. So compared to eternity, what is our life? What is my life? Apostle James reminds us that our life is just a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. We are like grass that withers. Our days are a mere handbreadth. And Job was able to say about his days that are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. If we set our minds only on the things here on earth below, we may think that our life is going to be eternal. But let me remind you that we as people can have our lives ended unexpectedly. I have led funerals of people who are 70, 80, 90 years old, but I have led funeral services of children as young as 3 weeks old. So what is our life compared to eternity? When we set our minds on the things above, on that long, infinite eternity, we realize how short our life is here on earth. The second benefit: focusing on heaven prepares us for the certainty of judgment. I'm not here to scare any of you, but that's what the Bible tells us. It is appointed that man die once, and then comes the judgment. Comes the judgment. There's no escape. There's no escape for these judgment. And when we set our minds on the things above, when we focus on heaven, we know that one day there'll be a judgment. And if you're here this morning that you haven't trusted Christ, you haven't come to the cross with your sins in repentance and confession, you will face God on his judgment seat. And he will have his verdict, his sentence for all of us. But we are who are believers and we have been born again, we have come to the cross with our sins, we will be rewarded at that judgment. The work that you do here as a pastor, as a deacon, as an usher, as a worship leader, will be rewarded. And while it may be difficult here down below, setting your minds on the things above, you know that one day you'll be rewarded. You'll be appreciated. You'll be commended by the Lord himself. And that's another benefit of focusing our minds on heaven. The third benefit of focusing on heaven is that it motivates us to live holy lives. I have this bad habit of dropping food on my clothes when I eat. Sooner or later, no matter what I do, I drop food on my shirt, on my trousers. And what do I do then? I try to clean myself up. I take a napkin, I go to the bathroom, I try to wash it away because I'll be in front of people like yourself and people will notice a spot here, a problem there. So I'm very obsessed, or I focus on keeping clean my clothes. But while I'm trying hard to keep my clothes clean, I should be trying hardest to keep my heart clean, my life, my soul, my eyes, my ears, my mind, to keep it holy, pure. And we know that the Lord Jesus gave us this righteousness, this purity, this holiness when he gave his life for us. But we are daily called to walk into this righteousness, to keep our holy lives pure day by day. You know, when we set our minds on the things above, sin is unappealing. Because we'll stand in front of a holy God and sin is not attractive then. But when we think on the things above, sin becomes attractive. Temptation is powerful and strong. When we set our minds on the things above, we pursue holiness. We are intolerant with sin. We try to overcome the temptation and try to live holy and pure lives. And lastly, another benefit of focusing on the things above is that our suffering, our current suffering, will be put into perspective, into a real, proper perspective. When you set your mind on the things below, you have no answer and you have no explanation for your suffering. You know what is the most common question that people have for themselves, for others, and for God? Why? Why? If there's such a loving God, such a powerful God, why is he allowing me to suffer? Why is there so much suffering in this world? And that's why many reject God, because they don't have an answer to this question. But even us, like as believers, have this question. Why, Lord, I'm serving you, I'm faithful, I'm loving you, and you are allowing pain in my life. Disease, illness, problems at work, in family, at school. Why? And you know, sometimes we may try to answer this question, but when we set our minds on the things above, when we focus on our final destination on heaven, we know, dear brothers and sisters, that there will come a day when our why question will be fully, completely answered. And then the Lord Himself will take you by hand and will take you aside, and He will explain why you had to suffer, why you had to go through what you went, why you had problems in your family, at school, in church, health problems. And then we will fully understand and we will say, yes, now I understand. Now I realize. But that's the advantage of setting on the things above. There will come a day. Here, down below, we will not have our answers completely satisfactory. But when we know that it will come that day, we will understand then why the Lord has allowed this war in Ukraine. Why the Lord has allowed suffering in our lives. Why failure? Why a thorn in our flesh? Why pain? Why injustice? Why false accusation? On that day, the Lord will put our suffering into perspective. Let us try every morning when we wake up to set our minds focused on the things above. And then we'll be reminded again and again of the brevity of our life, of the certainty of judgment, of the holy lives that we are called to live, and on the proper perspective that we will be given for our suffering. May the Lord bless this word in our lives, and may He be pleased as we try to live it daily in our lives. Amen. Thank you very much.
Well, brothers and sisters, you have now all met my friend Katalin. And soon I hope that you'll take the opportunity to shake his hand and introduce yourselves as well to his lovely wife. But as he has shared these photos, I know that he has reinforced a lot of what I've already shared with you. It's a very different world over there. It's also very similar. It's still our world. You recognize it when you're there. But the thing that's always constant is the need for Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're on an island or in Europe or America. Or Jesus is everything. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, in just a moment, our brother's going to share a song with us. So I'd like to ask you all to please rise. If there's a decision to be made, you're more than welcome to come. If there's a prayer need, you're welcome to come. If you'd like to come and pray with our brother, I'm sure he'd be welcome. But brothers and sisters, I just ask you to please invite now for the Spirit to move in your life, for the love of Jesus to come alive in you, and pray for yourselves and for those around you. Pray for the other side of the world as well. Pray that the will of Jesus be made known. But first, will you join me in prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, it is just the greatest of joys for us to be able to turn to you, dear Lord. Where would we be without you? It's so easy to look around this world, Lord God, and see what the content of hearts deprived of your love can do. So much pain in this world, so much callousness, so many people inflicting so many wrongs on others. But Father God, here in your house, we have a different idea because you are alive and well within us. And you prompt us to love as you have loved. You have asked us in Ephesians 5:1 to be imitators of Christ Jesus. You've asked us in Philippians 2:5 to have this mind in us which was also in Christ Jesus. Father God, let us have that heart and mind now and transform our lives so that we may prove that which the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Dear God, if there's a decision to be made, let it be made now. In your Son's most beautiful name we do pray. Amen.